Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Intuitive Stardust. A couple things before we get started. I am recording on my brand with, I guess, with my brand new mic. I'm going to test it out and see how it works. Full disclaimer, there are birds singing outside of my windows today, which is actually a glorious sound. I know that the mic has been picking them up because I've been practicing with it. So you might hear birds singing. It is also frigid in Western Pennsylvania again, even though it was 65 5 days ago. Such as spring in Western Pennsylvania. I'm also drying clothes in the next room, so you might hear the dryer going, such is life. I just felt really pulled to record today. 'Cause I don't know, I feel like lots of has happened for me. Before we get started, I drew a card for this episode from the Shaman's Dream Oracle deck. And number 25, Garden of Venus, Rest and Renewal came out. Which, as the weather begins to break, I feel like this is a good card for all of us. Winter is always, a difficult time of year for a lot of people, me for sure. This year was a little different only because it was much different after receiving my Reiki attunements and really having a lot of experiences in my life before winter that taught me how to go inward. And so, I've been told and I've read that winter is a time to go inward. And so it was a little less difficult, but it was still difficult because I love the sun and I love the warmth and I love the animals and the plants and just the feeling of life buzzing around me. So the Garden of Venus, the place of all is well, rest and renewal, self-acceptance. When the Garden of Venus appears, you are invited, actually summoned, to return to the pleasure garden of love. It is time to leave the field of battle. Put your sword away. There is nothing you need to defend anymore. Step through the gate into the garden of earthly delights. Bask in the joy of the wish-fulfilling trees and the scent of the healing flowers. You have returned home. You are weary, and it is time to rest deeply and be renewed. Go into this sacred garden alone, as there is no need for another to be present to experience its pleasures. Really, stop looking for the other. Enter by yourself. Allow your senses to intoxicate you. Leave all thought behind. Lose your analytical mind and return to your body. In the Garden of Venus, there is a still pond that shows you your reflection when you stoop down to drink. Who is that staring back at you? Look at who you have become. Rinse your face with these healing waters and practice deep acceptance. Love who you have turned into with all your imperfections and blemishes. The goddess Venus holds a mirror that allows you to see yourself in all your flawed beauty. Do not become caught in its spell. After a quick glance, take the mirror with you and return to the battlefield that you may reveal to others who they are becoming. Then you will no longer have a use for your sword. So yeah, I just feel there's a lot in there about, there's obviously grounding, allowing yourself to rest when your body tells you it needs rest. of course, it's a garden, so teeming with life and beauty. And of course, talking about our senses, which I'm chuckling because I have a story to tell about that. This isn't even what I want to tell today, but it keeps coming up, so I'm going to share this as well. Back in November, I got some kind of virus. I don't know what it was, but I did lose my smell and taste. And it returned pretty quickly, honestly. I mean, it was frustrating. But it was the strangest thing. I have lost my smell, like my sense of smell and taste before with sinus infections or colds or like allergy type symptoms. But this was different. It was like the absence of the senses. And it was like it was deeper than any other time I had experienced this before. I have since read up about it, and this is actually an extremely common condition that has occurred for probably our entire lifetimes and before with various viruses. I read an article, beautifully written article by a woman who had lost her sense of smell and taste back in like 2012, I think it was. And it was so nice to read what she had to say in the sense that it made me not feel alone. So it did return, and I mean, for a little while, it's hard. It's hard when you can't smell and taste because food has like zero pleasure associated with it when you can't enjoy the flavor of what you're eating. And so I started eating for texture for a little while because I was like, okay, and like, how are you gonna get better if you're not eating and you're not fueling your body with something? So I started to get creative with texture, and that was really nice, which is like this the sense of touch per se, only in your mouth, that sense of feeling. And I have to tell you, my favorite textured meal that I had when I could not taste. And that was the funny thing too, is that I could taste things. I could taste if something was salty, and I could taste if something was sweet, but there was an absence of flavor, if that makes any sense. So my favorite meal, texture meal, was there's a restaurant in town, a local place that makes a homemade fettuccine Alfredo. And honestly, like, I am not an Alfredo person. I'm more of like a marinara or some kind of like red base sauce person normally. But I was like, okay, chewy noodles, creamy sauce. So there's two different textures there. And then this place adds like minced fresh garlic to their homemade fettuccine Alfredo. So I got this homemade fettuccine Alfredo, and it was the first meal I had really been able to enjoy in the longest time. It was amazing to have that chewy texture, the creamy texture, and the little it was almost like a crunchiness, but like a soft crunchiness of the garlic. I could not taste the garlic, which is such a weird feeling because garlic is such a strong flavor. But I enjoyed that meal tremendously. And then shortly after that, my smell and taste came back, and it was like more faint than it had been prior. I have always been someone who has had very, very sensitive senses. So, I'm like the one in the car who I'm the first one in the car to smell the skunk that has met its untimely demise on the side of the road. I'm the first one to see something and notice little nuances and details. And so it was really a strange feeling to lose not just the sense of smell, but the sense of taste. And then when it came back, it was a relief, but it was also very strange that it wasn't strong, if that makes sense. So in any case, I just went about life, and about a month ago, randomly, I was eating like one of those little like it was like a homemade like pita pizza, and I bit into it, and it had like I think it had sauce and cheese and spinach and red bell peppers and mushrooms on it, I think. And I bit into it, and I tasted this like floral flavor, which was strange to me. But I thought I didn't make it. A friend had made it for me, and I thought, okay, well, maybe they had like, essential oils on their hands or lotion or soap or something. Because I don't know if you've ever had something like that on your finger and like not remembered and like licked your finger, or even like a strong smelling soap, and then you kind of like taste the perfumey flavor of the soap or lotion. And that's what it was like. And I was like, well, that's weird. But I ate it and it was fine and it was whatever. Then the next day I was eating lunch and there were bell peppers on a wrap that I was eating, and I tasted that like floral flavor again. And I was like, that's weird. So I thought, well, let's see what it is, because I thought it was probably the bell peppers, but I wasn't sure. And I pulled one of them out of the wrap, and I bit into it, and I was like, oh, yeah, this bell pepper tastes like a flower. Interesting. So then, I thought, okay, well, I either have to be aware of the fact that when I eat a bell pepper, it's going to have a floral flavor, or I have to just maybe not eat bell peppers for a little while. And I thought, it's really weird that my smell and my taste would like change again. It's the end of February. Like, where's this coming from? And then other things started to taste like flowers. Onions. Which is so sad because onions are one of my favorite things. And then like sesame seeds of all things. And when I say that they taste like flowers, it's like they all taste like the same thing. So like if I were to eat a bell pepper, an onion, and a sesame seed, they would all have the same exact flavor. Which is just so weird. And then it has, changed, and I've noticed like if something is like charred, if it's grilled, or if it's like the edges of like a crispy piece of pepperoni, or if you leave your bagel or toast in the toaster for a little longer and it gets a little darker, all of that tastes like flowers. And then just recently, it's shifted and changed again, and now bread tastes like flowers, or like breading on chicken or anything like that has like a floral flavor. And I'm like, okay. So I went on this, gosh, a couple days ago. I went down this hole, like this rabbit hole of like wallowing in self-pity, frustrated, not wanting to eat anything because nothing tasted good and everything I tried to eat had that weird taste to it. And I realized I was like grieving. I had this like it was like killing my soul. And I was like, I thought about it and I kind of, I did the going inward thing to try to figure out, why is this bothering me so much? Like I know that eventually everything is going to be okay. Everything is going to go back to normal. But why is this like killing me? And then I realized it was like a grieving process. It was like grieving that pleasure from smelling things and eating things, having that taste, and enjoying the food that you're eating. And then I got to thinking about it even deeper, and I was like, well, when you eat something and enjoy the flavor, that releases the happy chemicals in your brain. And that's like part of why, pleasure occurs. And then I was like, so I'm literally experiencing a lack of pleasure in my life because of this. So then I gave myself the day to just wallow in my own self-pity, to feel sorry for myself, to not really eat a whole lot. There are things, I mean, there are things that don't have this strange flavor to them. I'm lucky. I'm happy that kombucha is not one of them. So, and vinegar, kombucha and vinegar are similar sort of in flavor. And vinegar is something that I love. So I was like drenching things in vinegar and being a little more selective of what I chose to eat. And then the next day, actually that night, I was listening to a podcast, and the guest on the podcast was someone named Carehart, and I had never heard of her. And I was like just listening, and she's a numerologist. And it was funny because it like tickled something in the back of my brain, and I was like, huh. And it made me realize that when, so it was back in March of 2021, I had received my Reiki level one, my traditional Yasui Reiki level one attunements. And my classmates and I, the way that my teacher gives her attunements is she does them individually. So, if you are waiting to receive yours, or if you've already received yours, then you kind of are, going over your material, having a snack, and just kind of visiting and getting to know one another while everyone else is, receiving their attunements. And so I was, chatting with my classmates while we were having some fruits and vegetables, and somebody mentioned numerology. I like knew that numerology was a thing, but like I didn't know anything about it, and I didn't know how to find, your numbers or anything like that. So listening to this podcast and listening to Carehart talk about numerology, it brought that memory flooding back into my mind. And two of my classmates were talking to me about it and helping me figure out how to calculate your life path number. So the way that that's done is you take your the number of the day that you were born, the number of the month that you were born, and then the number of the year that you were born. And then, so if it's like January through September, then obviously it's just a single digit. If it is, the first of the month through the ninth of the month, it's obviously just a single digit. Once you get into the double digits, then what you do is, for instance, if your birth date is October, then you would add 1 to 0, which is obviously 1. And then with your birth date, it's 4 digits. So you add, for me, it's 1981. So I add 1 plus 9 plus 8 plus 1. And then I add those three numbers together. And you just keep reducing as you get those double digits, you keep reducing them down. And then I found out that if there is an 11, a 22, or a 33, as far as I know, I'm no expert here, those are considered master numbers and you leave those as a double digit. So I'm like going through and doing the math, and math and I have never been friends. Now, this is just addition, which is okay. But even like fast, like mental math and addition in your head, I'm like still like one of those people that I'm like, wait, I need to check with my fingers just to be sure. Math and I just have never been friends. It's the only subject where I really, really struggled and felt inferior to a lot of my classmates. It makes sense to me though, because I've always been more of like a right-brained thinker, with the creative flow and inspiration and like that kind of stuff. Linear stuff has always been kind of boring to me. But it kind of makes sense to me now, because I added up all of my numbers and I found out that my life path number is a master number 11. And I was like, huh, I don't know what that means. So I just kind of filed that away. I thought it was cool. And then I remember, like, in the coming days, I was, trying to figure out other people's life path numbers, and I found out that my mom's life path number is a master number 22. So that was kind of like, whoa. So wait a minute. You're telling me that my mom is a master number 22 and I'm a master number 11? Like, that's crazy cool. But then I kind of just, I don't know, filed it away. And I feel like part of me was even blocked a little bit when it came to numerology, just because it's numbers and math. And I'm like, yeah, no, that's not for me. But I was listening to this podcast and I was listening to Carehart talk about numerology and talk about how numerology really has this amazing way of describing who we are, why we're here, what challenges we have to overcome, how we're able to find balance in difficult situations, and like all of this stuff. And I'm like, okay. And then honestly, I didn't even finish listening to the episode because I found out that she had just recently published a book called You Are Cosmic Code, Essential Numerology. And I was like, I need to look up this book. So I stopped the podcast and I looked up the book. And this was the day after I had let myself wallow in self-pity, right? And I was feeling this spark of just excitement, and something just lit up inside of me as I was listening to her talk about numerology and how it sparked that memory that I had. So I went on Amazon and I looked and I'm like, okay, I could pay this much and wait a few days because this was Sunday morning. I could wait a few days or I could get the instant digital download and see what the heck this is all about and follow that feeling, that warm feeling, that spark, that excitement that I felt had been missing from my life for pretty much a month, right? So, of course, I got the digital download. Within a matter of hours, it's not a very long book. It's like 150 some pages, maybe. And you don't end up having to read every last word per se, if you follow along with it and do your numbers. So it's like you read all of it until you get to a certain point when you start calculating, and then you just read your section and move on to the next section, kind of, if that makes sense. So I'm like flying through this book and running my numbers. And my son was like, "What are you doing?" And take a drink. Hold on. So I told him what I was doing, and he was interested. So I started reading to him, you know, all about my life path number and my destiny number and my karmic lesson number, and everything that I read, he was like, "Oh my gosh, that's creepy." And I was like, "Why is it creepy?" And he was like, "Well, I mean, not creepy, but like it's like really accurate." And I was like, "Yeah, it is, isn't it?" And he was like, "Do me." "Well, no, you go ahead. You go ahead. You finish you." And I said, "I will. I'll finish mine up and then I will run yours for you." So I did. And it was really interesting because, you know, I have twin boys and I ran both of their numbers. And of course, because they have the same birth date, they have the same life path number, but some of your other numbers are determined by your name as it appears on your birth certificate the first time. So, by that I mean, like, you know, my maiden name is what I would have to use for my numbers. And it was interesting because I have twins, but they're very different. They're alike in a lot of ways, but they're also very different. And so it was cool to see the similarities in their numbers as well as the differences. So in any case, I all of a sudden just flew through like running numbers for people. I was, you know, texting people and saying, "Hey, I just went down the numerology rabbit hole. Do you want me to do you?" And I think I did like six or eight readings that day. And then it was funny because I was so lit up by numerology and what I was reading about and what I, because the people that I, you know, did the numbers for, I know. And so I was like laughing when I was reading their numbers, and I was like, "Oh my gosh, like this is who they are. This is what they struggle with. This is how they, you know, find balance and mediate situations in their life." And I'm like, "Oh my goodness." So I was just so inspired by that. So excited and so alive that I was like, "Okay, I'm gonna take control of this like smell and taste thing. I'm gonna go to the store, and I am going to get some of the things that I know that I can eat that don't taste like flowers. And I am going to have a freaking meal that tastes delicious and activates the pleasure centers of my brain." And so that's what I did. And it's really interesting to me because it was amazing. I ended up making, like buffalo chicken wraps with spinach and avocado and very specifically Texas Pete hot sauce. I don't know if you know this or not, but Texas Pete is one of the few hot sauces that does not add other flavors to it. It's just chili peppers. Don't ask me why chili peppers don't taste like flowers, but bell peppers do, because I could not tell you. But I do know that it was delicious, and I was able to put a little bit of cheddar cheese on it and some blue cheese dressing, and it was the most amazing meal I had had in a really long time. And it just made me so happy to finally be able to have that connection in my brain between my senses and my and my brain. So it was interesting to me that the first meal that I had enjoyed in a really long time was right after I had followed something that felt warm to me, something that excited me, something that lit me up inside, something that made me feel expansive, and something that made me feel as though I was, being propelled forward. And what was really interesting to me was doing all of these readings, it did not exhaust me. It did not wear me out. It did not tire me. Excuse me. I really love astrology. I really love human design. But it can be overwhelming and taxing energetically. And so I was like, that's really interesting to me. So, needless to say, this afternoon I have another numerology book coming in the mail. I don't know what this means, but I'm following it. And I did tell you that I would tell you the on the last episode I talked about the story about my chair. It's an intuition story. Well, one of the things that I learned about being a master number 11 in the book, You Are Cosmic Code, she talks about the master number 11 as the psychic. And I, of course, had to laugh about that because my last episode was talking about psychic abilities and mediumship, right? But where, and every number has its light side and its shadow side. And I guess being a master number means that you have come here with like extra pressure and extra responsibilities to perform and to serve your purpose, right? And one of the things, one of the shadow sides for the master number 11 is following your rational mind. Master number 11s are supposed to use their intuition. They're not supposed to allow their rational mind to come in and convince them otherwise of whatever their intuition is telling them. And of course, I had to laugh at that too, because I have many instances in my life where I have felt what my intuition is telling me to do, and I have not listened. And every time that happens, it's not good. So my intuition story about my chair, when we rearranged our basement so that I could have my special happy little corner with a real table, I had this chair that was just, in the basement, and it worked, but it kind of like it was a metal frame chair. So if I shifted my weight, it kind of like creaked and made noises, and it really wasn't comfortable. It hurt my tailbone to sit in it because it wasn't like it was hard. There was like a padded seat, but it was like old and it didn't have a lot of cushion. And I thought, gosh, I really want a chair. Like, I want a comfy, cozy chair that makes me feel good, makes me feel warm, makes me feel abundant, makes me feel comfortable. And I thought instantly, as I was thinking those thoughts and feeling those feelings, I was like, I need to go to TJ Maxx. And then my rational mind kicked in and was like, hey, you could also look at Big Lots and you could also look at Ollie's. I don't know. We have a store here. It's called Ollie's Bargain Outlet. And it's kind of like one of those stores that does, huge brand name buyouts. I guess similar to like a TJ Maxx. But they buy all sorts of things. They have, towels, sheets, rugs, books, gardening supplies, food, like they just have clothing. They have random things. Their slogan is actually good stuff cheap. So it's kind of, like a bargain place. And you can find really good things there for really good prices. So I was like, my rational mind was like, you really should just go look at Big Lots first, and then you can look at Ollie's, and then you can go to TJ Maxx. And I was like, I don't know. I'm feeling really pulled to TJ Maxx. And I thought, well, it's not like your town is huge or anything. Like, you can go to TJ Maxx first, then you can go next door to Ollie's because TJ Maxx and Ollie's are in the same shopping center. And then if you don't find anything there, you can go over to Big Lots. And I thought, yeah, I mean, okay, like let's go ahead. Let's follow my intuition and let's go to TJ Maxx. It's not like it's going to hurt anything. So I did. I walked into TJ Maxx and I walked back towards the furniture, and they had this little like raised platform with all of these beautiful upholstered chairs on it. And all of them had red tags on them marked clearance. And only one of them was of the shape of the chair that I was kind of looking for. It's kind of like one of those chairs that has like the it has the arms and the back sort of wrap around in like a partial circle. It's obviously not complete, but it's like, I don't know, it's like a hug, if that makes sense. It's not a straight back, and there's no right angles. And there's only one of them. And it was on clearance. And I was like, I guess that's why my intuition was calling me to go to TJ Maxx, because this is it. So then I had that like awkward moment where I stood there and I looked around and I was like, okay, do I just pick up this chair and carry it to the front of the store? Or do I go like, do I take the tag off and go up and buy it with the tag and then come back and just carry it out? And then I thought, this lady walked by me and I looked at her and I was like, it's that awkward moment where you're like, do you just awkwardly carry the chair to the front of the store? And she laughed. And then I thought, yeah, I guess that's what I do. Because I had this feeling of like, if I leave it here, what if somebody else buys it? You know? Because it was the only one. Was the very last one in the store, and I thought, all right. And it wasn't heavy, like it's very light, but it was really awkward. So I carried my chair up and I bought my chair, and I was joking with the ladies at the register, and I was just telling them, I was like, yeah, I was like, I never know when I buy furniture here, like, do I get a cart? Do I just pull the tag off? Like, what should I do? Because they don't like their carts at TJ Maxx aren't like full size grocery carts, you know? And I was like, so I just, awkwardly carried the chair up, and they chuckled, and I checked out, and then I picked the chair up and I said, I'm taking my chair and I'm going home. So I have a really comfy chair that I can shift my weight in, that it doesn't creak, it doesn't hurt my tailbone. And I just allowed myself to flow with the feelings and the intuitive things that came to me. And because of that, I got my chair. So I don't know what's gonna happen with all of this, smell and taste stuff, but it has been a lesson. I've been looking like, what's the lesson here? What can I learn? Like, what can I heal? What can I do to fix this? And I feel like, the lesson here is for me to really follow my intuition and allow myself to follow the things that bring joy to my life. So right now, that's numerology. I'm so excited because the mail will be here any minute. Of course, any minute within the next 2 hours. But The mail will be here soon, and I will have my other book, and I can continue down this rabbit hole, and really feel those feelings of pleasure and joy and excitement and happiness and warmth. As always, I appreciate you tuning in. I appreciate your time. I love you, and I hope that, if you're going through something now that is causing you to feel a lack of pleasure in your life, that you're able to find something that lights you up and propels you forward and allows you to experience those feelings of pleasure and happiness and joy and warmth. Because when we are feeling those things, that's when all of the good, juicy stuff happens for us in our lives. And I will keep you posted about my situation. I imagine it's just a slow process, and none of us do well with slow and steady wins the race, right? I mean, maybe some of us do, but for the majority of us, we live in a culture where we want that instant gratification. And right now, I just have to be patient with my body as it continues to heal and find things that I can eat that don't taste like flowers. I hope that you enjoyed this episode, and if you have any questions or if you have a story of your own about a situation like this that you would like to share with me, I would love to hear it. You can find me on Instagram at intuitive_stardust, and I would love to hear from you. So, send me a message and tell me your stories. Until next time, bye.